How's everybody doing this morning? Scripture is sufficient. Scripture is sufficient for what? We're going to talk about that a little bit today. Our text for today is found in 2 Timothy 3:10. Verse through 17. As you're turning there, I want to kind of give you our perspective of Scripture here at Living Hope Community Church. Here at Living Hope Community Church, we believe that the Bible is the divinely inspired, infallible Word of God. Inerrant in the original autographs, the Bible does not contain the Word of God, it is the Word of God. Within its pages is everything we need to know for what we are to believe and how we are to behave. The Bible is the final authority for the true Christian in all matters of faith and practice. In your scripture, our passage may have a heading on it. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God, or something similar to that. The headings are not inspired. They're put there by man. And we're going to talk about why or where Scripture is sufficient in our lives. If you would, follow along with me as I read this passage to you. Starting at verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, the persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposers will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you to please be with us today as we go through your word. Give me the words to bring honor and glory to you. Hide me through your blood. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. Allow it to take root in our hearts so that we may, when we leave here, be salt and light to a lost and dying world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to be camping around verses 16 and 17. Don't have the time to go in as deep as I would like to, or as far as this deserves to. So bear with me as we kind of skim across the peaks of this, because if we was to spend as much time on each one of these topics in this passage as it deserves, we would end up with about a 5-part series on these two verses. So just be patient with me. I'm going to kind of skim across these peaks, and I pray that God blesses this. The great American Reformed theologian, B.B. Warfield, who taught at Princeton Theological Seminary from 1887 to 1921, demonstrated that the Greek term translated, breathed out by God, theopneumatos, probably butchered that, but it'll be okay, refers to all of Scripture, not just portions of it. In other words, the entirety of the canon of Scripture, down to the individual words themselves, were given by God and therefore are entirely true. The Bible affirms no errors and is the only infallible source of Christian doctrine. Going to kind of summarize, give you a real quick outline of where we're going to go with this. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for what? The areas concerning the path of life. Teaching. Teaching shows you the path to walk on. Reproof. Reproof shows you when you have gotten off the path. Correction. Correction shows you how to get back on the path. And training in righteousness shows you how to stay on the path. Teaching shows you how to get to, shows you the path to walk on. Teaching is much more than just standing up here and expounding on a verse or two for you to take notes on sitting down there. Or it's much more than standing over here going through a study together. Even the non-believers will tell you that Jesus Christ himself was a good teacher. So if that's true, then we should be able to look at him for a model of what teaching is. When we look at the teaching style that Jesus used, he engaged in with his disciples. He lived life with his disciples. For 3 years, he was intimate with his disciples. He was in the trenches. There was no way that Peter was able to hide the fact of who he really was. Jesus knew him personally. And that's what we're called to do also. When we are supposed to know each other to the point that there is no way that you don't know how horrible John really is. That you know that John, when he stubs his toe, isn't perfect. When John wakes up in the morning and he's full of aches and pain, he's far from being perfect. We need to be closely knit on that level. So that when I come in and we meet throughout the week or whatever, it's not a surprise to you that maybe John just isn't as cheery as you think he might should be. And we can get together and we can go to the Word of God and look for what God has to say about those situations. Why isn't John so cheerful? And the Word of God can teach how to deal with those issues. That's what Jesus did. He was intimate with his students to the point that there was no way of hiding or having a masquerade of who we really are. When maybe we just are studying the Word for our own personal learning, and we're not really teaching other people at this point, and we're just digging into the Word, learning for ourselves, and that's when the Holy Spirit is going to start showing areas in your life that maybe you've never put much thought into, but he's saying, John, this in your life is really an offense to me. And I want to work on that. So that's the Holy Spirit using the Word of God to teach me personally. And when he does that, it's painful to see errors in my life that is a disgrace to the Lord, that I've never put one thought into. But that's Scripture's. That's the Scripture's job. All throughout Scripture, we see the Holy Spirit is the teacher of all things holy. You can have the best teacher in the world standing up here teaching you, instructing you, walking you through the Word of God. But if you do not have the Holy Spirit, it will never go any further than head knowledge. It will never penetrate the heart. It will never truly convert you into the person that you are called to be. It is only by the Holy Spirit circumcising your heart that the Word of God can truly teach you in a manner that is worthy of a child of God. However, when that happens, when that penetrates, when the Holy Spirit penetrates your heart, it's going to bring reproof. Reproof shows you the areas of your life where you have gotten off the path. I looked up the word reproof in the Webster Dictionary, and the definition is as follows. It says, to scold or correct, usually gently or with kind intent. Have you ever noticed when you are living in habitual sin, the very first thing you avoid is the Word of God? The second thing you avoid is people who will speak truth into your life. Why is that? Well, the same writer who wrote that beautiful song that Jacqueline sang for us in the opening goes on to write in Hebrews chapter 12 verses 6 through 11 says, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves. He chastens every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, We have earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. When God uses his word to bring conviction in your life, we should rejoice, because it's for our own good, and it proves that we are children of the Most High God. When the Word of God reproves you, it is softening you. It is working your heart. It's like kneading clay. The more you knead it, the softer it gets, so you can work with it, so you can make something useful. And that's what God that's how God uses his word to penetrate your heart. He's kneading it. He's breaking it. He's pounding out those lumps so that the word of God can penetrate and mold you into the likeness of his son. I don't know, but when it doesn't seem, if you just use that picture of clay, that maybe some of you have had a massage. And when that masseuse gets into the muscle, sometimes it doesn't feel very good. Sometimes it actually hurts. But afterwards, when it's all said and done, when they do what is best for that muscle to relieve, to relax it, it kind of just, it's for the best. And that's what God is doing with his word to our hearts. It's a long process for some people like myself. You go through it daily. It hurts daily. But that's okay, because in the end, it's what is best for me. Doesn't seem like it while we're going through it, but it is. But it prepares us to receive the correction that is soon to follow. The correction will show us how to get back on the path. Is there any place in Scripture where Jesus or the apostles referred to tradition in order to refute error? Not one. Not one time did they ever go back to tradition for correction. However, they always, always went straight to the Word of God. Repeatedly. Scripture was used repeatedly. So if scriptures are sufficient and thoroughly able to equip us for every good work, then we should not expect tradition to be used. We should expect exactly what we see. Going to Scripture. Using Scripture to show us where we have gotten off track. Using Scripture to correct us every time. And that's exactly what we see in Scripture, is the apostles always went to Scripture. I've chose three times where it's written that just kind of to back my point here, in Acts 17, verses 2 and 3 says, "And according to Paul's custom, he went to them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and raise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus, whom I am proclaiming to you, is the Christ.'" Paul used Old Testament scripture to prove to the Jews in the synagogue that the Jesus that they ordered to death was their Messiah. He used the Old Testament. The Old Testament is sufficient to bring people to salvation, to knowledge of salvation. And Paul used it time and time again for that. Acts 17:11 says, "Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." Are you guys Bereans? Are you searching the scripture? Or are you taking, whoever's standing up here, are you taking their word for it? Because if that's what you're doing, that's wrong. I'm held accountable. Ken's held accountable. Kurt's held accountable for what we teach. But you are held accountable for what you receive, for what you learn. If you are just blindly following us, stop. Get into your word. Be a Berean. Dig into the scriptures and prove that what we are teaching is true. It's your salvation. It is your eternal destination that is online. We will answer for what we teach, but you have to answer for yourself. We will not be standing there beside you. It is your job to dig into the scripture, to know what is being spoken, being taught to you is correct. And then in Romans 4, 2 and 3, Paul says, "For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does Scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness." Paul used Scripture to confront the Judaizers who were teaching a works salvation, who were saying, "Yes, Jesus was the Messiah, but you gotta do this, you gotta do that." Paul said no. He went straight to Scripture and said, "You must believe God." And the fact is that only with the Holy Spirit can you truly believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's the Holy Spirit that will allow you to come to that understanding. And that is the only way. And when you come to that point, then the whole scripture will start training you in righteousness. This book is truly the only book we need. Training means instruction and upbringing. Now, I went on the Logos thing, and I just clicked on that word, the training in righteousness. I highlighted it. And this is what it brought up. You got to listen to this because I found it very interesting. The whole education and instruction of a disciple, both the cultivation of the mind and morals, understood as the rearing and education of children. However, in adults also cultivates the soul, especially by correcting mistakes and curbing passions. It instructs, which aims at the increase of virtue. Basically, what they're saying there is, if we had a massive book burning in Marion County, and all you were left with is this book, you have everything you need to know to be a good and moral citizen. Now, understand that this isn't the same as what the world sees as a good and moral citizen. This is the exact idea of morals that God has set forth. We are citizens of the kingdom of God, and we are called to be righteous and good citizens for the rest of the world to see. Why do you think it's so the world comes against us so aggressively? They when we say that we have standards of moral, they say, well, whose standards? Your standards, my standards, Joe's standards? They're all different. And we have a standard that was set before time. And we say, no, it's God's standard is the standard that we are called to live by. And by saying that, we're saying that their standard is insufficient. That their standard is below this, you know, it just doesn't reach. It doesn't add up. And they find that offensive. That's why they come against us so aggressively, because we're saying that you need to thrive for this level. And they say, well, I can't. It's impossible. And we should be saying, you're right. It is. I can't do it either. But it does not stop us from thriving to please God. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, God dwelling within us gives us the ability to just climb one rung each day, a little closer, a little closer. And we know that we'll never, on this side of glory, we will ever reach that level of perfection that God holds us to. However, by His grace and His mercy, He allows us to see growth within us. So, it goes on to say that it's adequate. The verse is talking about that the Word of God is adequate to equip us, so that we can be adequate to do the job and fully equipped to do the job that He's called us to do. So, the word adequate, it goes on to say it's complete, it's capable, it's proficient to meet all the demands, every demand upon it. It is suitable and exactly fitted to equip us to do what God's called us to do. If we just stick with Scripture, we are able to do everything that God called us to do. It will completely furnish us and thoroughly prepare us to do the work that we're called for. So what is this work? What's the work that we're called to? That passage said prior, that we are called to teach, to reprove, to correct, and to train in righteousness. You might be sitting there thinking, well, that's what you're called to do. No, that's what every one of us is called to do. You may have a child. You're called to teach that child in the way of the Lord. You may have a spouse. You are to come alongside and help them and use Scripture, apply Scripture in their lives. And that, as a spouse, the men, obviously, are the head of the house. They are to do the teaching within the family. However, don't downplay that. Your wife is the person God has given you to complete you. And therefore, she might have a little insight that you overlooked. So as a good husband, you should listen also. But it goes beyond that. You might have someone at work who just comes in and out of the clear blue just says, man, life is tough. And God has just opened up an opportunity for you to take that person and take them to the Scripture and apply Scripture into a certain area in their life that they need. So it does, teaching and all that stuff does not stop right here. Each and every one of you, you're called to build, to make disciples, therefore you're called to teach. This is one of the things that's really hard for me. It bothers me. We as children of God, we so often will go to the world for advice. We seek advice from people who claim, who have PhDs and this and that in different things other than Scripture. And we ask them, help me with this problem. However, as children of God, we're held to a higher standard. The people of the world do not understand what God requires of his children. So we should not be seeking worldly advice for spiritual issues. And so often, we are taught that that's what we need to do. And frankly, the church itself is at fault for that. So many times you may go and talk to a pastor or an elder or something, and they'll say, well, maybe you should go talk to someone else. Rather than taking the opportunity and getting into the trenches of life with you and applying God's word to the areas of your of pain in your life. You know, my whole point on this is that Scripture and the worldview is completely opposite of one another. They go against the grain, you might say. The world will tell you that alcoholism is a disease. Nowhere in Scripture have I ever seen that chicken pox will send you to hell. Nowhere does Scripture say that cancer will send you to hell. But many times, several times, Scripture makes it very clear that a drunkard will not enter the kingdom of heaven. The world will tell you that you just need to love yourself. Just need to love yourself a little more. However, in Ephesians 5:29, it says that No one has ever hated their body. Doesn't line up. My point is that the worldview is in direct contrast with the biblical view. It always was, and it always will be. So if there's something that you guys are struggling with, if you're battling temptation, if you're just dealing with depression, if there's something in your life that you just can't get over, speak with one of the elders. Get with them. Allow them to go to Scripture with you and apply it to that issue. I'm not saying we're all perfect and that we're perfect in the Word, but the thing of it is we can pray with you, for you. We can dig into the Word and apply it. And we can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you have something that you're struggling with, get with Craig or myself or Kurt and allow us to talk with you and dig in the Word for you and apply it. So I'm going to close with that.